Hello.
Well, hello there.
Hello, I'm Natalia.
I'm Candace.
This is Not a Single Fork.
Our podcast.
And we're going to have a pumpkin party.
Ooh, I love pumpkin parties.
Pumpkin party. So just a quick little tidbit. I might sound a little funky. I'm having a major fucking allergy attack. So sorry if I sound a little weird, but that's all that's going on.
And she had an allergy shot.
Yeah, I know. They gave me water. I don't know.
She swears to God that they just put water in, just to humor her.
Just to charge me $30 and slap my ass and send me on my way.
You'll get over it.
Yeah, you'll be
fine.
Because
allergy season will pass.
I know. I know. And I've taken like 700 things today. So anyway, that's why my voice might sound a little weird. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe this is your first time.
Well, perhaps. Maybe you just think Natalia talks and has this husky voice.
Yes, a husky.
Okay, so last episode was squash.
Yes.
Or winter squash, not just squash.
That's right.
Because I really don't like zucchini
I know
and summer
you don't.
Squash very much. I mean, you know.
You've got a little better.
I've gotten better. Yeah. But only because you have to treat it properly.
Right.
You know, the way I always envision zucchini is that it, for like a restaurant, it's cheap. So they fill in with it in like vegetable sautés and stuff. So it's mostly zucchini and it's been cooked to death and it's soft.
Yeah, well, that tastes like shit. Because
yes.
There's no flavor, no seasoning,
yeah,
no salt,
like,
no pepper,
like
no garlic.
It's like going to the cafeteria.
Okay, yeah, no, I don't think about zucchini that way.
Okay, well, I have come to appreciate it in its different forms. But we talked about winter squash, which was butternut, acorn, that kind of thing.
Is pumpkin considered a winter squash?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're kind of continuing, but we're just sticking with pumpkins.
We're just talking about pumpkin today. I get a big kick out of seeing when the carving pumpkins.
Do you eat the carving pumpkins?
No, they're tough.
Okay.
Let me take that back. Personally, I have never eaten a carving pumpkin, but I think you don't eat them because they are tough. They're overgrown.
They're giant ones.
They're too big.
Okay, but you can eat the seeds.
You can eat the seeds after roasting, which is one of my favorite things. That was actually when I would carve pumpkins for the kids because, okay, now, I know you don't have kids, but maybe you did this when you were a kid. My kids would get really excited about jack-o'-lantern pumpkins. Because they would watch me carve it.
Oh, they didn't do it.
Oh, God, no.
So they were just excited to watch mom have crafty time?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because I would buy those very intricate patterns. Because
it would be perfect.
And the tools, I had
They several... literally just sat and watched you?
Well, they'd watch for a while and then they'd get bored and leave.
Oh, your phone's on.
Oh, my. You know what? That's my older daughter in Italy.
Speak of the devil.
Yeah. Well, you know, she has great timing. Mm-hmm. I forgot to turn my phone off, guys. Sorry. So
it was like a show for them.
Until they would get bored. It was kind of like the same thing with Easter eggs and that sort of thing. Is, you know, they love the idea. Okay, I'll give you another example. They would love to go out and play in the snow for 5 minutes.
Right.
So they'd get all bundled up. In 5 layers of clothes, they'd look like, you know, Nanook of the North, and go out and play for 5 minutes and then get cold. And then they'd want to come in and have hot cocoa.
Mm-hmm.
No. They didn't want to have hot cocoa. They liked the idea of having hot cocoa. So I would make hot cocoa and they wouldn't drink it. One sip.
Oh my God. Seriously?
Absolutely dead serious.
Okay, so let's go back to the pumpkin adventure that you would have on your own.
Right.
Because then you would probably sit there for a while because those intricate ones take a minute.
Well, because here's what you... Okay, so I had like 3 different sets of tools. One of them being Martha Stewart's tools.
Oh, yes, of course you did.
And so you would get this pattern and you'd have to put it on the pumpkin. And so...
And like poke it, wouldn't you?
One thing I could get Marin to do was to take a push pin and do the outline of the design. So they would be involved in choosing the design. Then Marin would prick the pumpkin so that I could see it to cut it out. But then they were out after that. Mm. Boom. They're gone. So...
And then they had beautiful pumpkins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
always. I think they knew exactly what they were doing.
Well, mom will do this.
Yeah, it'll look great. Let mom do it.
Yeah. So what I would like to do though is after you open the pumpkin up and you dig all the insides out, roast the pumpkin seeds.
Okay, so the insides of that you can't do anything with.
Not with the flesh.
Okay.
The flesh is just, it's, I'm sure it's very tough. Because it's an, it's basically overgrown pumpkin.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but we would roast the pumpkin seeds. You know, you kind of separate them from the goo.
Yeah.
But the goo adds flavor.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. So you don't want to clean them entirely.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then you, you just spread them out on a sheet pan and then drizzle them with butter.
Butter. And that's it?
Salt and pepper.
Yeah.
Or other seasoning, whatever seasoning you like. I guess you could do like a pumpkin spice.
Yes.
And then roast them in the oven until they were brown and beautiful and crunchy.
How crunchy were they supposed to be? Because I remember trying that one year and it didn't. It was like...
It takes a minute to get them there.
Because they're very moist. Yeah.
You know, they've been in a very moist environment. So it takes... First, they have to dry out.
Once
they dry out, then they start to cook. But it takes a minute for that to happen.
Yeah, I'm sure with my limited amount of patience that I pulled them
too soon, and then I was like,
why the fuck do people like these? And this is so weird, and I threw them away.
Yeah, if they're not cooked through, roasted through.
I can't even chew them.
No. No.
Okay, so that's not what we're talking about.
No.
Okay, so you don't eat those pumpkins. So
that's we've spent like 10 minutes talking about
it. Disregard that shit.
Never mind.
So you don't eat the big pumpkins. Which pumpkins do you eat?
Okay, well, I guess I started this journey by saying I love to see when the pumpkins come out in the groceries. Mm-hmm. And that's usually like mid to late September.
So this is a stupid question. Is an eating pumpkin the same as a baking pumpkin?
Yeah.
Okay, because I think they're labeled as baking pumpkins, aren't they?
I'm trying to think what I just saw. Pie pumpkins is what they're typically called.
Okay.
And they're about... They're about the size.
They're about this big. Look.
They're about this big. So they're the size of like a soccer ball.
Okay.
Small soccer ball.
Yeah.
And you don't want them any bigger than that because then they start to get tough.
Okay.
And so then at that point, there are some seasons where they're everywhere and they are there through October into November. And then there are years that they don't have great crops, so you have a very limited supply of the pie pumpkins. But a pie pumpkin is what you would eat.
Okay.
You can use it to bake a pie, or you can use it like a squash.
Okay, so do you have a recipe for us?
I do. I just happen to have one.
Well, why would you like to share it?
Yes, I'd love to share
it. I think you have more than one, by the looks of things.
Well... The other two are actually with pumpkin puree, which is what people are mostly familiar with.
Okay, so let's start with the pumpkin.
Okay.
Pumpkin.
So this would be like a dinner.
Okay.
So, you know, we didn't really talk about stuffing squash, but you could do the same thing with an acorn squash.
Uh-huh.
Or a caboca or, I don't know, probably not a delicata because they're more shaped like a butternut squash, I think, but... And actually, I've never cooked a delicata, so
you said that last time,
or a caboca.
Yeah, you said that too.
I know, but okay. I've seen them.
Just reiterating.
Just reiterating.
Okay, back to pumpkins.
Okay, so this is a recipe where you hollow out small pumpkins.
So you cut the top off.
Cut the top off,
and then what do you use to hollow it out?
Just a spoon. Just a spoon. You just want to make sure it's. You can kind of take some of the extra flesh, but usually the problem with the little ones is the sides are thick.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes extra time for them to cook. So you have to take that into consideration. And they still are filled with pumpkin seeds and goo.
And a pumpkin is not something you peel.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I mean, I guess you could. But the way that I've always like roasted pumpkin for making pumpkin pie, and I'll get around to that also, is you just split it open like a butternut squash.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then let it roast, cut side, you know, all that. Doing the same process with steaming and then turning it over. But, okay. So you're going to have like small pumpkins.
Individual
small
servings.
Pumpkins.
Okay.
Yeah. Bigger than the ones that you use for decoration.
But smaller than the soccer ball.
Smaller than the soccer ball.
Okay.
Because that's going to be like a single serving.
Okay.
Okay, so this stuff, it's a stuffing that you make.
So this is a stuffed baked pumpkin.
Stuffed baked pumpkin.
It's kind of fun. Okay.
Yeah.
So cut the top off.
And I found a lot of different recipes before I found this one. And this one was my favorite. And I'll talk about the ingredients here in a second. And I'm trying to remember, I think this is from a website called, what was it? It's something about pairings. Pairings and it's whatever. It doesn't matter. So
it doesn't matter because we're going to post it.
Yeah, we're going to post it and I'll give them credit for it.
Yeah.
And because I think this is probably a pretty good recipe if you want to bake and stuff a pumpkin.
Right.
For so your whole dinner. Okay. So you start with sweet Italian sausage.
Okay.
And you cook the sausage until it's almost done. Then you take it from the pan, you leave behind the sausage oils and grease
goodies
and stuff.
Because
you, I like to start sausage with a little bit of olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
It helps it to brown a little bit better and gives it extra flavor, and then it doesn't stick to the pan.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then
So where do you put it?
You just put it in a bowl.
Okay. Or you just let it sit
to
there.
To the side. You let it sit there on your cutting board or whatever. Okay. Then you have chopped onion. So you're going to add onion. And then from another pumpkin, you've got chopped up pumpkin. So it'd be like
you murder
another pumpkin.
Okay. In front of the other pumpkin.
In front of the other pumpkin. Yeah.
And then you stuff the pumpkin with the pumpkin.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. So I'm guessing in this situation, you actually probably would peel the pumpkin.
So is the other pumpkin cooked?
No.
Okay.
Everything's
raw right now.
Raw, except for the sausage that's going into the stuffing. Okay. So, yes. So, I guess because you have to saute.
So, you'd have to peel and like dice it.
Like you would butternut squash.
Yeah. Okay.
So, it's exactly the same process as you do with the butternut squash.
Do you think you can use a potato peeler on a pumpkin, or is that skin too thick?
Well, I use a potato peeler on a butternut squash.
Okay.
Vegetable
so it
peeler.
Should work.
You just want a really sharp one.
Yeah. Okay.
Get a new one. And be careful.
And if not, just use a fucking knife.
Yeah, don't use it. I mean, if you're good with a paring
knife,
okay. But otherwise, use a vegetable peeler. Okay, so you're going to have 2 cups of chopped pumpkin.
Okay.
That you're going to saute with the onion until it starts to soften up.
Yum.
Okay. Then to this concoction, you're going to add, it's probably ends up being a small Granny Smith apple.
Oh, okay.
You chop, it, and please peel your apples so you don't have apple skin like we talked before.
We did.
And so then you stir your apple in. That will, again, we talked about apples last time. They give it nice flavor. So you add the apple in, you add the sausage back in.
Okay.
And then you just kind of saute it for a couple minutes just to kind of warm everything up and get their flavors
together.
Going. Then you've got some wine.
Ooh.
So just a little bit of white wine. It's about 1/4 cup of white wine.
Okay.
Then you let it cook because you want to cook the alcohol off. Alcohol's bitter. You just want wine flavor. Then you set all this stuff aside.
Okay.
Okay, now this recipe calls for couscous.
Okay.
I think it calls for couscous because it cooks fairly quickly.
It does, yes.
Yeah. You could use rice.
But it would take a little longer.
But it would take longer. I think it would be fine. But you just have to take that into consideration. This dish bakes for 25 minutes.
I love couscous.
I love couscous too. This calls for the Israeli couscous.
And you know,
which is bigger.
What I found during the pandemic was that you couldn't find any fucking rice, but you could buy all the couscous you wanted.
You know why that was?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Because nobody knows what couscous is.
No one knows what couscous is.
Oh, my family was like, this is perfect. Like, my brother texts and he's like, I'm loving this. He's like, this is pretty funny. Send a picture, all the couscous, no rice. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, couscous is just a pasta.
It's delicious.
And it's made with semolina flour. And it's a very interesting process how it's made.
So is Israeli couscous the big fat one?
It's the big fat.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, you in another bowl, you combine Israeli couscous, or if you don't know what it is and you don't want to find out what it is, use rice.
Use fucking couscous.
I would use couscous. Yeah. Dried cranberries also.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say some kind of raisin-y thing.
Yeah. I think dried cranberries would be delicious in that. Yeah, I do also too. Dried cherries or blueberries.
Yes.
I think those would be nice too. But cranberries, you know, seasonal. Mm-hmm. Ho, ho, ho. And Thanksgiving.
Ho, ho, ho. Happy ho, ho, ho. Happy Thanksgiving. What the fuck?
And then there are some herbs that go in. You have fresh thyme and fresh oregano. And then a little bit of olive oil and salt and pepper.
Sage would be good too.
Sage would be nice.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. So then in this big bowl, you add the meat mixture. So that's the part with the sausage and the pumpkin.
You
and,
add it to the couscous.
And, you add that to the couscous and cranberry mixture.
Okay.
And then you toss it. You combine it.
Yeah.
Then you have your hollowed out baby pumpkins.
Yes.
And you stuff them.
Okay, with all this stuff.
With all this stuff. Now, it doesn't say in this recipe how far to stuff them.
Yes.
Okay, this is kind of a critical element.
Because what? I know.
Why?
Wait, I got it.
Tell me.
I have the answer. Ooh,
tell me.
Pick me.
Tell
pick me. Pick me. The couscous is going to grow.
Exactly.
When it cooks.
Yeah. So don't fill those suckers up to overflowing.
Because it will explode.
Because you'll have stuffing everywhere.
Do you put the lid back on?
Well.
Or do you leave it just open? Just.
This says to cover it. It doesn't say anything about the lid. Mm-hmm. It just says to cover them in a shallow baking dish with foil.
Oh.
Now, what I would add to that is in the shallow baking dish. So, you know, you have like, you probably have like it won't fit an 8x8. Maybe like a 9x13 mm-hmm. Pyrex glass baking dish. Or if you're rich, you have Emile Henry or Le Creuset or something.
If you're rich,
you have that shit.
Bougie.
Otherwise, you've got Pyrex.
I just have the foil. I'm just making a foil pan. I've got the throwaway shit.
Which is actually, I mean, it's not good for the carbon footprint, but it is efficient. So you're going to put them in the shallow baking dish, and I would, as in my, you know, when I do the other squash, I'd put a little bit of water in the bottom, about a quarter inch of water on the bottom after you get those in there.
This actually sounds delicious.
And then you wrap it in foil.
And so fucking cute.
Yeah.
Well, you just wrap the top.
Well, you cover the dish with aluminum.
Oh, the whole dish.
The dish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you bake it in the oven at, where does it say that?
It doesn't. That's a secret.
Oh, no. 350.
For how? Forever?
No. For 25 minutes.
Oh, yeah. That's
okay, but
hot.
Here's the thing. No, it won't be cooked through if you do it at 350.
Yeah, the pumpkin won't.
The pumpkin, if you want to eat that pumpkin, you're shit out of luck at 350
so keep going.
20 minutes.
It
says to bake it for 25 minutes, take the foil off, and then bake it for 10 more minutes and serve immediately.
Okay.
Okay, well, whatever.
Whatever.
If you want to eat the insides of the pumpkin with your dinner, although you already have pumpkin mixed
right,
in it.
Right, right.
If you're just using it as a vessel, okay, go for the 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And then extra 10 minutes. If you want to eat the pumpkin itself, then you better cook it at least at 375 for 45 minutes.
Okay. And then uncover it for about 10.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
So that's our stuff. That's our stuffed baked pumpkin. I got so excited. I couldn't get my words out.
It actually sounds super fun. And then I love the idea of using it. Like, you, if you guys don't already know, I love a multi-purpose item. So I love that you eat the vessel. But it's also super cute. Like, how cute would that be on a table setting with everyone just having their own, like, little individual pumpkins?
And, you know, to that end, I think that there were some retailers who got the idea. And so they created pumpkin tureens and pumpkin soup bowls that look exactly like pumpkins.
Oh, yeah. Those are cute, too. Like, Williams-Sonoma has them and stuff. Yeah.
They're really fucking expensive, too.
But they are cute.
So just buy a couple little pumpkins.
And then you can just throw them away.
Knock yourself out.
Okay, so that's one of our recipes that we really went all the way through.
Okay, so that's...
Let's kind of touch on a couple.
That's a very involved pumpkin thing.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't sound challenging.
No, it's not hard. But
yeah.
You have, I mean, that's time consuming.
Right.
You got to go all in on that one.
It's a yes.
All Speaking in. Of which...
Oh, God. Oh, shit. I know what you're going to say.
I was on Instagram this morning.
Oh, she is all in.
And there's a
There's a gal I follow, and her hashtag or her at is Inquiring Chef. And she's a mom of three, a married mom of three.
Looks like a super fucking mom.
Yeah, super mom.
Super mom.
Kool-Aid mom.
Which is cool.
So it's
great.
So she's at, we're not dissing her.
No, but.
We are not at all. At Inquiring Chef is her, how you can find her. And so she had this reel on Instagram this morning about planning a month's worth of dinners.
A month. How the fuck do you do that?
Oh, like you do it with a dry erase board and a lot of post-it notes.
Oh my God. I was like, she showed this to me when I got here today and I was like, how do you fucking stick to that? How do you not know that on a Tuesday you're going to come home and like your fucking house is going to be on fire or you've had like a shithole day and you want to just murder everybody.
And all you want to do is sit down with a bottle of wine and just fucking leave me alone.
Drink and pass out. Like, let's be realistic. Like, she has three fucking children. I mean, that's a job, whether she has a day job or not. Like, this is a fucking full-time job. And now, I mean, like, that for me would take heavy medication.
Well, and talk about having to be all in.
All in.
Jesus.
All in. Because, I mean, I get it. I have friends that do, like, weekly meal plans. And I think that's very, I think it's smart, especially when you're working.
Yep.
And you've got shit going on, you know, during the week. And work can be very stressful. And we get it. And it's good to have that plan. And then kind of on the weekends, you can play with food a little bit more. But even that, like, I can't even fucking do a weekly meal prep because I'm like, I don't fucking want tacos tonight. Why is this on here?
Yeah.
Fuck this shit. Like,
I'm going to eat a burger.
Yeah. Or whatever. Like, or nothing.
Or I'm just going to have wine.
Or just cheese and crackers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know.
Like, what they do in Italy, they have this time called, and you may or may not be aware of this, is aperitivo every night at 5 o'clock, and they have their Aperol spritz or whatever drink, and then they have, you know, cheese and crackers or little snacky things.
Little bite.
But they also have this thing called apericena, which is actually when you turn your aperitivo into your dinner.
Oh, because I was going to say, they probably don't eat till late, because I know I didn't used to eat till, I mean, I didn't live in Italy, but I, you know, wasn't
here. You were in Europe.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't eat dinner till like 8, 9 o'clock.
Right.
So, yeah, you needed that snack to hold you over. It was like a little snack after school, you know?
Yeah.
Basically, when you get home from work, you need a little bite and then...
And a drink.
And a fucking cocktail. And then, you know, you wait another 5 hours to eat dinner. But people here don't, I mean, they eat dinner at like 5:30 or 6 o'clock.
I know.
Which I think is, I don't know if it's good for you or not.
It's the blue plate special.
I know. I know. And I guess if you're going to bed at fucking 8 o'clock, then you need to eat dinner
or
at 6.
Or 8:30 is your bedtime.
Jesus God.
That was last night.
Oh my God. If you're going to bed at 8:30, what the fuck time are you waking up? You better be waking up at like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah. And going and working at the television station.
Or the hospital, I understand. You know, whatever. Or you're getting on a flight. Fine. But Jesus God.
But 8:30 every night.
Are you a grown up?
Come on.
I mean, this is a child's bedtime. Okay. Anyway.
Okay. So that was a time-consuming recipe.
Yes.
Okay. So now we're going to the other end of the spectrum.
Quickies.
And this, by the way, is delicious.
Yes. You've made this.
And I hate soup.
Yes.
I hate soup.
Candace hates all the things I love.
Zucchini, I don't know. I don't know why soup, I hate soup.
Fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I hate it, but soup is just, it's not a meal to me.
I love soup.
And I think it's because my mother, she made a delicious vegetable soup, by the way. And she would make soup, and then we would eat fucking soup all week long.
Oh,
and
well,
it was
that's
like,
why.
This is delicious
Anything
soup.
You eat.
It's like, no.
For fucking five days in a row.
That was a time when I really wasn't into vegetables too much.
Yeah.
So it was hard. So anyway, that's just a lead in. This is a soup. Because it's soup season.
What? Are we going to talk about a soup?
It's a good soup.
Imagine that. So this is the Southwestern pumpkin soup.
Yes. And actually, this is an oldie but goodie. This is like a 20-year-old recipe.
So is this made from actual pumpkin or is this made from pumpkin puree?
No, this is from pumpkin puree, which I'm sure mostly you are familiar with versus cooking with a real pumpkin.
Okay. But we had as an aside, we talked about this because one year we made pumpkin pies with actual pumpkin.
Yes.
And then we made actual pumpkin. No. Then we made pumpkin pies. Blah-ga-da-ga-da. Hello, Sudafed. Then we made pies with pumpkin puree and they had more flavor.
Yes. And I experimented with this because I do love to bake pie.
Not anything else. Don't get with me on any other baking, but pies, I can kick ass on those. So I wanted to kind of, I mean, I wasn't going into it saying I'm going to perfect my pumpkin pie.
Well, no, but you kind of think in your mind if you've got a fresh...
I wanted to improve it.
If you've got a fresh ingredient, then it would be better because yes. When you eat something fresh, it usually is better.
Correct. So I roasted pumpkins yeah. one year. And a lot of pumpkins, actually. And you, because you have to roast a lot of pumpkins
to make a pie.
And I did it like I was making a butternut squash with, you know,
cutting it in half, steam it,
then finish it with salt and pepper and all that stuff. And it just didn't have a lot of flavor in the pie. And so then I found this little technique that Ruth Reichel she was the editor of Gourmet Magazine, and she's quite a prolific writer as well. And if you haven't heard of Ruth, you need to look her up. Her last name is Reichel, and she is a great writer and food writer and has super knowledge of food. And so she has this technique where you just take your canned pumpkin puree. You put it out on a sill pat that's on a sheet pan.
What's a sill pat, for those that maybe don't know?
Okay, so sill pat is basically for baking because it's a silicone mat. You can find them anywhere now. It used to be really hard to find them, but they're everywhere. So you get a silicone mat, sill pat, silicone mat, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that fits in a sheet pan, mm-hmm. and then you spread your puree onto the sill pat.
Out of the can.
Then you dry it, basically, in the oven. And the temperature, I want to say it's fairly low, so it's like 300 to 350, something like that, until you've dried all of the excess. Let's try that again. Excess. Moisture.
So you're basically baking it. Like, you bake it, but you're drying it.
But here's the thing. The pumpkin puree that comes out of the can is so wet.
Yeah.
That you need to get the moisture off of it. And when you do that, it's like reducing a sauce
yeah.
or reducing wine or reducing whatever. You're concentrating the flavor. And that's the way to go.
So do you do that with the soup?
No.
Oh, we just fucking went off on a fucking
That's a good tangent to go off
yeah,
on.
Okay. You know? Yeah, that's a good tip.
But most people are familiar with pumpkin puree, and
yeah.
it's a really fast thing to use. And that's what makes this soup, besides the spices you put in it, but that's what makes this soup hearty and creamy and all those yummy things. You do put cream in it.
I think we should not give them the full recipe for this.
We're just going to talk about it.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Okay, so this is a soup that starts with, this is like a, I don't know, like a very few ingredients and steps soup that you can do in like 15 minutes.
Oh, nice.
So if you get home from work and you have all these ingredients, or most of them, go for this soup because you can have dinner on the table in 30 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, so you want to have stock to
soup's
start
on.
With. Yeah, soup's on. With a lot of bread.
All the bread.
So you want to have chicken stock and then cream.
Mm.
Please don't use milk or
half and half
or
skim milk.
I see
people
milk.
Use half and half in recipes, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
It breaks down, guys. It's not stable. It's going to curdle. You don't want it.
Heavy cream all the way.
Heavy cream. If you're going to boil something. So then you have your pumpkin puree, and instead of golden brown sugar, use dark brown sugar, because the only difference is it has more molasses in it, so
okay.
it's earthier.
Nice.
It's a deeper, more delicious flavor, actually.
Yeah.
And then you have cumin, chili powder, ground coriander, which is the seed of the cilantro plant.
Yes, it is.
And it has delicious flavor. It's very citrusy and bright. And then you want fresh nutmeg. You're gonna do some shavings of fresh nutmeg.
Fresh nutmeg makes you can, and actually you can buy
do
that
not
anywhere
buy,
now.
Do not buy ground nutmeg.
No, that tastes like nothing. It tastes like nothing, actually.
It tastes like preservatives.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. Because there's just no way you can use nutmeg and keep it that's already been ground. No. Okay. Then to finish this delicious soup, you're going to have sharp cheddar cheese.
Mm.
If you don't have sharp, that's okay. Use a different kind of cheese. But
sharp, just, you know, it's a nice balance.
Tangy. It's tangy.
It's tangy, and it, and this is, you know, as you can tell by the ingredients, it's a rich soup. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have something tangy. And then you also finish it with some chopped fresh cilantro.
Yum. I love this soup.
But, you know, it's kind of, you throw it all together, warm it up, and then eat it.
That's what fucking soup is, Candace. You throw, that's the whole point of soup. It's a bunch of fucking leftovers in a pot that you blend together and call soup.
This is, okay, let's see, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's what the recipe says.
Bada bing, bada boom. That mm-hmm. sounds great. And cozy for cool days, fall days. Do you like this soup? Even though you don't like soup?
I wouldn't eat a big bowl of it, yeah. But I would eat a cup of soup, of okay. this soup. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's good. Okay, what's next?
Okay, so if that weren't enough...
Yes, give me more.
Wait, there's more.
More, more, more.
We discovered in our risotto classes that I'll take responsibility for this. I was getting bored.
What?
I know, it's hard to believe.
It's so weird.
I was getting bored with the variety of risottos we were doing. So we were in fall or winter or whenever, and I said, you know, maybe there's a pumpkin risotto out there somewhere.
Maybe.
We do a butternut squash risotto.
Yes.
So this is a pumpkin risotto, and the thing that makes it more fun, I mean, you do it basically exactly like...
Are we using fresh pumpkin or canned pumpkin?
Let me get there. Hang
okay,
on.
Okay.
You do it almost exactly like the butternut squash risotto, except you use pumpkin puree. So it actually comes together even faster than the butternut squash because we don't use like the roasted smash butternut squash. Mm-hmm. We use the chopped. So mm-hmm. the butternut squash has to cook into the risotto. You could do that with this. You could do the, you know, the pumpkin technique of peeling it and all that jazz. But I would just go with a pumpkin puree because, you know, again, this is one of those things. It doesn't have to take all day, but it does have to take as long as it takes to make risotto.
Right.
So instead of just using stock, you whisk pumpkin puree into the stock.
Oh, nice.
Or broth.
Okay.
So it's the ratio is like 1 to 4. So 1 of pumpkin to 4 of salt.
So your actual dish is kind of orangey when it's finished.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
oh,
it's kind of festive.
It's a beautiful color. Beautiful color. And then you finish it with dried cranberries and goat cheese.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Oh, my God. And that sounds so fall-y.
It's so harvesty.
So harvest.
I just love that. Yay.
I know. You love the
Yay. Yay, fall.
Yay, fall harvest.
And it's the weather's gotten so nice right now.
And that's such a pretty dish. I mean, all these dishes, but like that one with the cranberries and then the orange of the... I mean, it's a muted orange, of course. You don't want this bright
it's
fucking...
It's not like a jack-o'-lantern orange.
You don't want a fucking Dr. Seuss orange risotto. Like...
I do.
It's not... We're not theming it that way. But it's nice, deep orange with the white of the goat cheese and the red of the cranberries.
Well, and then think of this. The pumpkin puree is going to make the risotto, which is rich anyway, it's going to make it richer.
Yeah.
Then you have tang of goat cheese and then kind of the sweet tang of cranberries.
Sweet tang.
Plus it's chewy. Cranberries are
chewy. Yeah. Texture.
Yeah.
Different texture.
Ooh, it just makes my mouth water right now.
Oh shit. Okay. We're going to go
eat
some pumpkins.
Let's go make some risotto.
At 10 o'clock in the
morning.
I have
cannoli rice. I can make some risotto if I want to.
Let's do it.
So that's all the pumpkin recipes I have.
I think they're amazing.
And so...
Very good, very good.
So on the website, I will put a pumpkin recipe. And on Patreon...
You will put...
I will put...
One or two?
I will put two
pumpkin
recipes.
But wait, there's two. Not just one, but two.
Yes. And now I've discovered the way. I'm having difficulty talking this morning.
It's okay. It's usually me.
Yeah, you're on Sudafed, so you're okay. You get a pass. I found a way to link Patreon to our website.
Okay.
So you can click on Be a Patron.
On our website.
On our website, on notasinglefork.com. Click on Be a Patron, and you don't have... That doesn't mean that when you click on it, you become a patron. It takes you to our Patreon page.
Yeah, you gotta pay to be a patron. What the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah, give us some money so we can keep doing this shit. So I don't have to buy foil. I can buy bougie pants.
shit. Yes, let's all go buy bougie pans. Yes. Okay, well then we're gonna say stay fresh.
Pumpkin bags.
Not a Single Fork is made possible by the Girl Can Cook cooking studio and kitchen, where real people learn how to cook real food and have fun while they're doing it. Located in beautiful downtown Broken Arrow, Oklahoma's historic Rose District, the Girl Can Cook holds recreational cooking classes during the week and private classes and parties on the weekend. Personalized catering and wine dinners to fit almost any occasion are also available. Check out the Girl Can Cook at thegirlcancookschool.com.